Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get him, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
Hot is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock! That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Tones of Ole Miss Evie right here in this slot. I scheduled her the other day not knowing the news of Thursday would even hit. So, Evie, I don't even know if this conversation is going to be what we originally intended it to be. That's the environment we're in right now.
Every day is a new day, it seems like, isn't it, Bill?
Is Ole Miss, is there any thinking that you lose non-conference games, if indeed that's the format, we don't know that yet. And would they be adding more SEC games, you think?
Oh, gosh. I think they – that's a really good question. I think they better concentrate on trying to figure out how to play just the ones they've got scheduled already now, frankly. I don't know. I mean, would the requirements for – bowl, you know, wins to play in a bowl game. I mean, are we even going to have bowl games? I mean, it's a crazy time, isn't it?
Yeah, and a superintendent in Dallas, I don't know how much power he has. Maybe he has some, but said he doesn't see Texas playing high school ball this fall.
High school, right. I saw that. And, you know, what's interesting, and I think probably as you and I have talked, I mean, it may be very likely that the SEC goes to just conference games only. An interesting thing that nobody's really talked about, but being, you know, not very far down the road from Houston, right now, Harris County has, you know, built a temporary hospital at NRG. And to me, how are you going to have, you know, in the parking lot, and then also they're going to have temporary hospital inside NRG Arena. So how is Ole Miss and Baylor going to be played at that venue? You know, I'm not really sure that's going to happen. So I guess there's just a lot going on, and maybe we'll know more next week after the ADs meet with the SEC. But again, who knows? I'm not sure anybody can predict yet what's going to happen.
On to the field. I have been in my mind trying to figure out how Lane Kiffin can keep John Rhys Plumlee off the field. I've been watching some of those replays, the LSU game, him just running up and down the field. And I look, this is not anti-Matt Corral either. I just think Plumlee is a playmaker supreme. How do you think this is going to play out, considering we really hadn't repped them against each other yet under Lane Kiffin?
Gosh, I know. That's a good question, too. You know, a lot of people thought back with – when we lived in a world where we were going to have spring football, that Corral was going to really gain a little step over Plumlee with Plumlee doing baseball. And then that happened. And so nobody really has any advantage over anybody. So I'm with you, though. I think that Plumlee is just such an electric player. I think I know people who didn't even follow SEC sports as much, believe it or not, but I'm over here kind of in Big 12 country.
Yeah.
They would watch just to see Plumlee play, just to see what Plumlee was going to do. And there's just no question, like you say, that LSU game was just something else. I mean, every time he touched the ball, you just wondered what was happening next. So I don't know. I mean, and to have gone this long and Kiffin still really doesn't know, you know, what he's got. I don't think Ole Miss begins any kind of – right now they're still in their voluntary workouts. They don't begin any kind of, interaction, required workouts, I don't think, until July the 13th. And then I believe it is July the 24th that they get into their quote-unquote enhanced workouts where they have walkthroughs and things like that. But, I mean, you're right. I don't know how you keep him off the field, but I also think that Matt Corral's a solid quarterback, and I also think that, you know, there's a reason Grant Tisdale took his name out of the transfer portal when Lane Kiffin was hired. And we haven't seen a lot of him. What we did see of him before he entered the portal last season, he came in against Alabama and threw a really nice touchdown pass through, you know, I think every pass he threw was a completion. So he's kind of more of a mix of the two of Plumlee and Corral, I think, with both his legs and his arms. So Kiffin's got, he's got plenty of tools there. It's just he hadn't been able to take them out of the toolbox yet.
Some schools announce their testing results. They don't give you names, which is, I think, a very, very reasonable way to go about it. And obviously you have HIPAA laws and considerations like that as well. Some schools release general data, though. Some don't. Is there anything come out of Ole Miss that maybe I just didn't see?
No, I don't. I don't believe so. I think the last time we knew anything, I think that there were 13 in, and this has been, gosh, this has been 3 or 4 weeks ago. There have been 13 in quarantine, and I think maybe there had been 2 positives. I'm checking on that right now to see what I can come up with. But no, there have not. There's not been anything released as of late, like within, you know, like in the month of July, I don't believe. So that's a good question. I talked to some of the parents who are friends of mine, parents of players, and, you know, their particular kids are doing fine and say everything's going along with voluntary workouts okay. So I haven't heard of any mass outbreak like at some of the other schools.
Yeah, and again, schools are not required to do this. Some do, some don't. And I could see both sides of this. But it just seemed like Ole Miss had been quiet and maybe it had gone up over my head. I just hadn't heard anything.
I will tell you, though, this is interesting. I've had there has not been a formal announcement made at Ole Miss from the university in terms of what the fall schedule is going to look like. I mean, there's a lot of kids all over everywhere wondering what in the world am I going to have remote, you know, web-based classes in the fall? Are we going to be in person? And I have some student interns who told me this past week that they went and they looked at their schedule, and most of them, 90% of their classes are listed as remote, you know, web-based. And they weren't that way earlier. So it's like, you know, they've been switched. And they said that they've heard the professors can have the option of doing an in-person class or remote. So that's just kind of interesting. But every single one of them I talked to, even though there hadn't been an announcement that it looks like we're going to virtual classes, most of them, all their classes had been switched to virtual classes. So now I have a son who's actually gotten into medical school and will be headed off to Texas Tech in Lubbock. And I mean, he's been told in person were a go. So I don't know.
You know, the first 2 years of medical school are mainly just the academic side. But could you do medical school without being in person? I mean, well, virtual I medical school? Can you
yeah,
ask no, it
I,
in?
I wouldn't want to go to that. I don't think I'd want to go to that doctor. I did my online medical degree. But you know, the only problem would be, I think your first year you have a cadaver for most of the year.
I'm not sure
how you'd have a virtual cadaver, or is my son going to have one off in the spare bedroom? You know, I don't know.
Like a video game cadaver.
Yes. There's probably a lot of kids nowadays who might do really well with that, but not really a doctor I would want to visit at any point.
Josh in London, Ohio, wants to know if you have any new snake stories.
Let me see. Well, I'm on my I had one nest of swallows already. All of them made it. The only snake that came out ended up that got kind of caught in my net that I wrap around my pole to keep from the snake being able to get up into the bird's nest was a non bird eating kind of snake. It was just some really dumb Decay's brown snake is what it's called. But so, no, I don't have any particular ones in terms of going up my pole, thankfully. We've got, apparently it's a really big season for copperheads. I don't know what's going on, but the copperheads in the middle of the pandemic are thriving. So they're pretty much copperheads everywhere over here in Texas right now. So just trying to avoid those. I know of a lot of folks who've been bitten or their animals have been bitten, but thankfully I have not had any of those of late. So I'm sorry to disappoint, but I'm kind of glad because they're creepy.
Copperheads are creepy, man. Wow.
Oof,
and now, when you walk outside and you take a step, is that the first thing you're looking for, literally?
Yes. Yes, it is. My veterinarian says she has a hoe at every door, a hoe at every door. And she keeps one, you know, just for every door you walk out. You need to have a hoe right there just in case you have to whack something. So yeah. And oh, Bill, so when pandemic hit, I just sort of initially in the very beginning, I have to admit, I did kind of panic a little bit about the food supply, which is ridiculous, but I decided, okay, this is the year I'm going to make a garden. Well, I was a little overzealous. I have a 1,200 square foot garden, and it is out of control. You know, I'm not the best farmer in the world, but I will tell you, I must have pretty good soil because it is just nothing to pick 50, 60, 70 tomatoes a day, cucumbers a day. So if anybody
That's a
needs
good thing.
Any. Yeah, it is. If anybody needs any produce, I'm your girl. So if there is a shutdown in the food supply, I can hook all your listeners up with some produce. So, but it's so, you know, I didn't really know what I was doing, so maybe my rows aren't far enough apart, whatever. But, oh, we actually have a stick, a big like PVC pipe thing that we kind of rattle around in there because it's just, you can't even see in there when you're trying to pick stuff sometimes. So I'm always worried about copperheads. And I do know people who've had their hands bitten when they're in there trying to harvest their crops. So
that's not you get your hand bitten, you better get to the hospital pretty quick, right?
Yes, absolutely. You know, the copperheads, I had one guy tell me one time, oh, they're not as deadly. I'm like, yeah, right. You know, I mean, Texas has four poisonous snakes. That's one of us. One of them, if I get bit, I'm headed to the hospital. So,
Ole Miss Evie with us on this Friday. And again, Evie, we got no clue where this is going. We're just existing right now.
We are, but Bill, how impressive that your show continues to be so phenomenal day in, day out. And we've had no sports. And we don't know when we're going to have sports. So that's a testament to why you're the king, right?
I tell you what, if we get to know football this fall, I'm not worried about filling time. That won't be a problem. But I guess we'll be down to, like, what-if games, right? Like, we'll just play what-if.
Right.
I can promise you Ole Miss would have done this week three. I'm telling
that's
you.
That's exactly right. I can promise you Jerrion Ealy would have,
right,
you know, run wild. So,
outrun somebody secondary. Yeah.
That's exactly right. And it's just, you know, it's so frustrating for us. And can you even imagine what it's like for the players? I mean, I just, you know, one of the dads I was talking to said yesterday, they literally, I mean, even, you know, the players have no clue. I mean, the coaches have no clue. And it's just got to be tough on those kids. So let's hope we can get back to some sort of normalcy and keep people safe while we're doing it. I did see, I'm sure you probably talked about the South Carolina AD who said if they have a season, he envisions a capacity of, what, 15,000 to 20,000, which is about a quarter. So I don't even know what that looks like. What does that look like when you go into a stadium and there's – just a total of 15,000 people there.
First of all, I assume you're 6 feet apart. Everybody's got a mask on, mm-hmm. and they temperature you all the way in.
Right. I mean, it's just going to look strange, isn't it? I mean, I'll be thankful if there's some football, even if they're, you know, if the fans in the stadium look strange. But it is just really hard to wrap your mind around what it's going to be like. So what do you envision happening at that SEC meeting of the athletic directors next week?
Probably succumbing to the Big Ten business model.
Mm-hmm.
I would guess.
I think so, too. You know, I'm crushed. I mean, NRG Stadium in Houston is just not very far away from me, and I've been so excited about seeing Ole Miss and Baylor play. I just thought that was going to be such a great game. So, I don't know. I'm crossing my fingers. Maybe we'll have a vaccine, you know. I don't know.
Evie, have a fantastic weekend.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you so much for having me.
The angelic tones of Ole Miss, Evie, bottom of the hour, Mr. Dave Biddle. We'll go from Evie lives in the College Station, Texas area, not far from Houston, as she just mentioned. And Dave Biddle's up in Seabus, Ohio, so we'll go up that way in about 11, 12 minutes. So let's take the break. Coming right back, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. As we watch traffic really start to pick up through Mount Juliet right now, all that traffic flow coming out of Wilson County into Hermitage, traffic still looking pretty good. 65 coming southbound out of Robertson County down through that part of Sumner, Goodlettsville. Just busy out here where you would expect for this time of the morning. When it comes to having fun on the Ocoee River, book online today at adventuresunlimited.net. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place with the best bowling, games, food and drink, and entertainment? Strike and Spare Family Entertainment is the answer. And with five centers in Middle Tennessee, there is a location near you. All open 7 days a week, including holidays. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Hermitage, and the Tusculum area. And enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville at Circus World, including laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, time freak, a laser maze, a virtual reality roller coaster, and an indoor bungee trampoline. Strike and Spare is expanding their Murfreesboro operations to the old Sears building in the Stones River Mall, with most of the attractions Hendersonville offers. Like them on Facebook for updates on the new Strike and Spare Murfreesboro. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are also the perfect place for your next gathering, from birthday parties to family reunions. For more information, visit strikeandspare.com. Remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers. Whether you're a startup business or an established brand, Stripe Design and Print want to help you ensure you establish the best brand for your business. From new projects to updating existing files, Stripe Design and Print has the expertise to turn your project into a reality. With banners, apparel, business cards, and more, Stripe Design and Print has you covered. Log on for a free consultation at StripeDesignPrint.com. That's StripeDesignPrint.com.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-444-4676 or look them up on the web at lynchtreeservice.com.
Nashville Sports Radio has been your home for sports and information for over 25 years. And in these uncertain times, we understand the importance of information. With all the questions about the coronavirus, Nashville Sports Radio provides you the answer with the CBS Coronavirus Special with Gil Gross, airing every Saturday night starting at 6. Answering all the questions about the coronavirus and providing you with the best information. The CBS Coronavirus Special with Gil Gross, every Saturday at 6 on Nashville Sports Radio.
He knows all there is to know about Johnny Five Star, and now you can too. It's Bill King.
Dave Biddle in about 8 minutes or so. Bucknuts. Oh, we got a lot to talk to him about. Looking forward to it. Jim says here on Twitter, Bill, does the ACC now have leverage to get Notre Dame to join the conference full time? Well, look, I don't think leverage is what they're looking for. They have Notre Dame. Look, if Notre Dame were to join a league, and to date there's never been a push for them to join a league other than their detractors, but from the decision makers, there's no push at all. But if they joined the league, it would be the ACC. That's been the thought for quite some time. Now, again, someday in the future, could that change? Geographically, you'd think the Big Ten, but the real truth is it would be the ACC. But they're in the ACC and all the other sports, and they get ACC-like football treatment too, even though they're not in the ACC. So I don't know how that would work, or I don't know if leverage right now. Now if let's say the scientists come out and tell us that the current situation with this pandemic is going to be permanent, and leagues start considering the future and it starts becoming a conference-only type schedule, which I don't think that's going to happen, but let's say what if. Maybe that's what Notre Dame does consider ACC football as their home, as a conference member. But right now, I wouldn't think so. Vol Nation 98, Bill, could this be the beginning of the Autonomous Five? We never, or we may never, go back to having pancakes on the schedule. I mean, you're already the Autonomous Five. That's what that whole mess was about several years back when they said, give us what I want. Or, and you fill in the blank on the or. That's what basically Mike Slive said back then. And they got everything they wanted. So you already have the Autonomous Five. And why would you not want to play some of those non-conference games? Number one, it helps them with revenue, and it's an easy, well, not in every case, but in most cases, it's easy W on the schedule. It's a game where you can play more on your roster and get them game reps. There's nothing like game reps. So I don't know that there's any push to get rid of non-conference games forever based on this. The Autonomous Five already has total autonomy. And I was listening to Urban Meyer, and I don't remember, it was a couple weeks ago, but he was saying, I didn't ever broadcast this, I didn't tell the media, but games like that, we look forward to because we unloaded our roster in those games. We got lots of people reps, valuable reps in those games. Again, you don't broadcast that because it's disrespectful, but... So those games have a lot of meaning in a lot of different ways. I don't think this is some futuristic look at the way the business model is going to look in the future. Jeff, too, has dialed us up. He's usually an alpha bean-counting tweeter, but he does call some. What's up, Jeff?
Good morning, Bill King. Happy Friday to you, yours, and everything else. It's a great day. Wanted to just real quick, it's actually my baby brother's 33rd birthday, and I only mention that to tell this quick story that it's 33 years ago today that you've met my dad a time or two. My dad actually delivered my brother when we were living in Birmingham because my mom went into labor and the first ambulance who was supposed to come get him had an accident. So it's my dad had to deliver my brother in Birmingham, so that was fun. But he's living a good life. He and his girlfriend are heading out to Breckenridge today. Good for them. I mean, yeah. He's 33, and I applaud him. That's a great life. But, hey, no rope against Dave Biddle here. I wanted to just give a quick point on something. we talk about, you know, one of the big echo chamber things that's been, you know, beat here for the last 20 years has been the disparity in wealth in this country. And what makes me mad, and I'm not trying to get political, I'm really not. What makes me mad about this whole situation is all the situation with coronavirus, whether it be sports, whatever, all this is doing and all it's going to do is make the rich richer and the poor poorer. And it's been noted that, you know, Williamson County is going back to school, thankfully, you know, or has the option of going to school or doing remotely. Davidson County, where, you know, where one in three kids does not have access to a computer, is being sent home for the first month or maybe 2 months. So translating this into sports real quick, let's say we don't have a season. Let's say the season gets washed for some reason, there's an outbreak. I'm telling you right now, call me a brainwashed fan, I don't think Alabama football is going to miss a beat. And if anything, I think Alabama and Ohio State and you know, the Chalky Five are going to get stronger because other programs are going to fall and absorb Alabama and Ohio State and Clemson. They're going to go in there and pick and choose the best players they want from those places. Would you agree with that?
Now, explain that again. You're saying if nobody plays?
Let's just say nobody plays. And let's say some programs, because they have no revenue, have to dissolve football completely. Alabama and Clemson, Ohio State, LSU, Georgia, they can go in there and pick and choose whoever they want to from these places. Because I tell you right now, Alabama, with alumni support and fan support and Ohio State and Clemson, all the Chalky Five, I don't think any of these schools are going to miss a beat. If the programs they fund are going to have problems, but I think Alabama is going to keep on, you know, regardless of what happens. And I'm just saying all the situation is doing is making the rich richer and the poor poorer, in my opinion. And it just seems to me like it's becoming a political thing whenever it shouldn't. So I mean, if you have a different viewpoint, I'd love to hear it. But I mean, I just think that if we have no football whatsoever and a lot of programs have to be dissolved or thrown to the wayside, complete sports programs because of this, that's only going to make the rich, like the SEC, much richer. And the poor, you know, who knows when football could return for some of these places.
I guess my only point would be, I don't know how many players on those rosters are good enough to go to Ohio State or Alabama.
I agree completely.
Maybe one or two.
Yeah, exactly, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, there's diamonds in the rough, I guess, is what I'm saying. Yeah, there's some guys, you know, with this transfer portal, especially we've seen transfer. And again, I'm not saying Diesel College Tech or whatever. I'm just saying some of these, you know, mid tier Sun Belt programs or whatever. I guarantee you there's some athletes. I mean, let me say it this way: there's a lot of guys on those rosters that end up in the pros. So if they can play in the pros, I think they can play in the Big Ten and the SEC. So it's I'm just saying that it's going to do nothing but make the rich rich and the poor poor. And, I mean, we'll see what happens. Hopefully we'll have some sort of football season, but it's really sad that it's gotten to this point.
And
we'll just see what happens. But, look, Bill, no if you're against it, happy Friday, and look forward to hearing Dave Biddle and Brad later on.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Dave Biddle coming up, bottom of the hour break, right here, right now. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. We're watching traffic volume build pretty good here down Ellington Parkway, right on schedule 65 here at Trinity Lane. As far as really bad interstate accidents, we've actually been in pretty good shape this morning. Let's keep up the good work, especially on the traffic flow coming through Kingston Springs right now on 40 East out of Dixon County. Two-bedroom house for sale in Nashville, perfect for an office location, located at 1638 Dr. D.B. Todd Jr. Boulevard. Call Greg Sanford at area code 615-300-0753. I'm Commander Chuck, you're on time traffic.
The Southern Air Market combines the hospitality of a New Orleans-style neighborhood grocery with the convenience of a New York City bodega to cater to the needs of downtown Nashville residents and visitors. Located in the Pinnacle Building on DeMumbrian and 2nd Avenue next to its sister property, the Southern Steak and Oyster, the Southern Air Market is the first of its kind in the burgeoning SoBro neighborhood. Drop by to choose from shelves stocked with locally sourced sundry goods and produce. A butcher counter full of fresh meat and seafood, French-pressed coffee, made-to-order paninis, and a bevy of craft brews by the bottle. Don't want to leave the house or office? We also deliver at the Southern Air. Find us on DeliveryDudes.com and OrderUp.com. The Southern Air Market is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., and Sundays from noon to 5:30. To learn more, visit SouthernAirMarket.com or call 615-490-8077.
The Locksmith Company, our full-service locksmithing expert, is reminding Americans to show support to the brave and honorable men and women who serve our U.S. military. Their tireless effort should never go unnoticed. This message is from the Locksmith Company. For all your residential, commercial, or automotive locksmithing needs, call today for a free estimate or 24/7 emergency service at 931-801-5427 and visit thelsco.com. The Locksmith Company is looking forward to seeing you.
Hey, Bill King here to talk about the Omni Nashville Hotel like you've heard me do so many times. Bar lines specifically here. New summer hours, 11 a.m. to 1 a.m. Delicious food and drink. Bourbon barbecue chicken wings. Also the Bear Bones Burger and everything else you're going to love on that menu. Remember, the Omni is also the location of Commitments Year Number 3, which is December 16th. Bar lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue, downtown.
Here an exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning. Chance of thunderstorms and patchy fog, high 93. Slight chance of thunderstorms tonight, low 72. Tomorrow, sunny with a chance of thunderstorms, high 92. And Sunday, thunderstorms likely, high 92.
Gives you a wide latitude on topics because Bill King isn't afraid of your telephonic interaction.
Middle Buck Nuts with us. Dave, Thursday was one hell of a news day. How did the fans that you interact with on Buck Nuts take the Big Ten's announcement of conference games only?
They took it pretty well because I think after what happened with the Ivy League the previous day and the news the previous day also on Wednesday that Ohio State was putting its voluntary workouts on hold. Everybody was kind of, you know, at that point, you know, even the most optimistic of fans were starting to be concerned that, you know, the football season could get canceled or, you know, the idea it's going to get pushed to winter slash early spring. And good luck getting that in before the NFL draft when you have to play games outside in places like Columbus, Ohio in January and February. But by the time it came down, Bill, you know, I think fans, you know, were not that upset about it because now it's just a matter of everybody just wants football. And that's where I fall down too. I mean, I'm in that category as well. As long as we have football, and no matter what program you are, it doesn't matter if you're Tennessee, Ohio State, Alabama, Michigan, your goals are still ahead of you. Non-conference games are fun. Like that Ohio State at Oregon game would have been so much fun. Going out there would have been fun. Just seeing those two teams play in Oregon would have been fun. But Ohio State's goals are to beat Michigan, win the Big Ten championship, and then compete for a national championship. Those goals are still on the table. So any school out there, you know, you want to beat your rival, you want to win your conference championship, and you want to compete for a national championship or get in a good bowl, whatever it might be. Those goals are still on the table. So as long as we have college football this year, even a truncated season, count me in for that. And I think that's how most Ohio State fans feel as well.
What can you tell us about Ohio State halting voluntary workouts for what, a week or whatever it's going to be? Is there more to the story? What could have happened to cause this?
It's a good question because, you know, it's not like, from what I understood, you know, we actually broke the story on Bucknuts, you know, a few minutes before, a half hour before Ohio State put out its release. And, of course, we were just speaking from a football standpoint. I was told by a couple sources within the program that some players had tested positive. We didn't get into other sports, but it turns out some of the other sports on campus, you know, like the basketball teams are on campus, soccer teams, volleyball teams, cross country. I was told that, you know, less than 10, it wasn't like a big outbreak like Clemson, less than 10 football players had tested positive. I was told more than 3, less than 10. So that does narrow it down. And I was thinking, well, It's interesting they're going to close it down if it's less than 10. You know, Clemson had 25 in one day, and then it got to 37, I think. And, you know, they kept, you know, those players were quarantined. They kept their voluntary workouts going. So I don't know if Ohio State just had, like, a number in mind or if it just got to be collectively too much. So even with the other sports combined, I heard it wasn't, like, some huge number. It wasn't a huge outbreak. But maybe once it got into double digits, total, as far as, you know, when you add in the football players and the other students that were on campus, maybe they just felt like that was too many. I don't know. You know, it is interesting that they decided to put it on pause for at least a week. And if it's just a week, that'll be good news that they're back working out next week. I tend to think, if I had to guess, it might be a little longer than that. But if it's just a week, that'd be great news, obviously.
Going to a conference-only schedule, they play 9. Do they add a game? Do they make it 10? Or how is this going to look? And are the current dates, Dave, the current dates, or is that all going to get mixed up?
I think everything is on the table as far as conference. Like whether, you know, they're going to mix the games up, they're going to add a game most likely if they can. They want to play 10 games. So, for example, right now, you know, you have three crosses. You play all six teams in your division. So the other five teams in your division, you play six division games, the other six, so seven teams in each division,
right.
And you play six division games in the three crossover games. What I think they're going to do now is you're going to keep the six division games, and instead of having three crossover games, you're going to have four crossover games. And they're going to try and make it where travel is, close proximity as possible. So right now, Ohio State's not scheduled to play Purdue in a crossover game. They probably will now because it's not that far from Columbus to West Lafayette. It's like a three-hour drive or something like that. So I think they're going to do as much of that as possible. That's already in place thanks to the divisions, like Ohio State and Michigan. You know, that's not a bad drive. Ohio State, Michigan State, Penn State, Indiana, all those are relatively close. Now, Rutgers and Maryland aren't, but they're going to do everything they can to limit the travel, and they're going to try and get an extra Big Ten game in, like you said, Bill. Instead of just playing 9 games, they want to try and do 10, but they have not released the new schedule yet. They could keep the dates where they're at right now. Like, I would think Ohio State and Michigan are still going to be the last week of the season, but you never know. There's also been talk of playing the division games first. So if they do that, now I think if they do a plan like that, they might do 5 division games first, then wait for the rival games at the end of the season. I can't imagine them playing Ohio State and Michigan in the middle of the season, but then again, this is an unprecedented year, and everything seems to be going to heck, so who knows what's going to happen. But yeah, I think the plan right now is to play 10 conference games, so they'll add one more, and then again, just limit the travel as much as possible. So when they do, reschedule things, look for a lot of teams that are relatively close in the Big Ten that were not scheduled to play each other this year.
Josh in London, Ohio, points to an article, and he links me and you on Twitter to this. It's from FanSided, and here's the headline: Ohio State and Michigan could play each other in the season opener.
Listen, as long as we have football, count me in for anything at this point, man. You can wear leather helmets, you know, guys can play both ways, you know, just whatever. Let's just get some football in. London, Ohio, great place. I got my career started there. I was a sports editor of a newspaper in London, Ohio that no longer exists. But, nice shout out from London, Ohio. But, yeah, I just think, count me in for anything. But I tend to think Ohio State and Michigan still going to be scheduled for the last Saturday of November, if they do it like that, or the last Saturday of the regular season. But who knows? Everything seems to be on the table right now.
How about let's do this to spice it up? Play the first week and the last week, Ohio State, Michigan, home and away. Special season, special year. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's do it. I don't know if Michigan would want to do that. Do they want to lose to Ohio State twice in a year? No, I'm kidding. Let's do it. Let's do it. I am up for anything. I really am.
I'm with you. If I'm Michigan, I probably wouldn't like that. But
not this year. Not this Ohio State team.
No, not at all. Okay. Dave Biddle with us, Bucknuts. I'm sure you saw this, too, because it's college football, once we started the series show, is not just local anymore. People keep up with other leagues and stuff. I'm sure you saw some of the tweets where supposedly now, allegedly now, the SEC feels backed into a corner because they didn't want the Big Ten to make this announcement so early. Now, apparently, maybe today, the ACC and the Pac-12 will make an announcement very similar as the Big Ten just did. But the SEC seems to be fighting back. By the way, Dave, I think eventually they'll go to the same model. But what do you take when you see that the SEC feels backed into a corner here because of this?
Interesting, because I do feel like I understand that they're thinking, well, why'd you have to make this decision right now? Couldn't you have waited a couple weeks? So I get that, but I feel like the Big Ten felt like, listen, it's mid-July at this point, almost mid-July, and I think all along they wanted to make a decision, you know, late June was the plan, and they pushed it into July, and they felt like they had to make a decision now, and I agree with you. I think eventually the SEC will have to follow suit. Not have to. I just think they will. And I'm concerned about a lot of these smaller programs. I don't think they're going to go away. Like, let's take Bowling Green, for example. They were supposed to play Ohio State in the opener, and that's their moneymaker. And they were at Bowling Green. They were already having financial issues. And Bowling Green's one of many examples. I'm just using Bowling Green. They already disbanded their baseball program, Bowling Green. Now, they got it back because boosters stepped up. They had a couple of former major league players that stepped up and other boosters that stepped up, and Bowling Green saved its baseball program. That was before the pandemic really hit. I mean, I guess it was like right around the time when everything started. But you thought, okay, everything's going to be fine by the time we get to football season. Everything's going to be cool. So now you're going to have programs like Bowling Green that might not even be able to field a football team this year. And that's going to really hurt, you know. If the SEC is going to try and play non-conference games, it's like, who are you going to play non-conference games with? Now, maybe there will be enough where you can do it. But I think just getting the conference games in and adding a conference game, I think that's the best way to go, and I think you're going to see all the leagues follow what the Big Ten did.
We know Oregon and the Buckeyes, that's off, but that Alabama-Southern Cal opener in Texas, I would assume, is a no-go because the Pac-12 is probably going to announce soon.
Yeah, and the Pac-12 is interesting. Like, I think we could have a scenario where only the Power 5 conferences and maybe like the American Athletic and maybe the Mountain West, maybe a couple of the other group of five conferences play this year. Now, hopefully all of the Division I teams play this year. But I could see a scenario where it's like Power 5 and maybe a couple other conferences. And within the Power 5, I could see a scenario where the Pac-12 is playing, but Stanford says, we're not playing. You know, and that doesn't mean Alabama's going to say, well, okay, whereas Stanford's not playing, we're just going to call the season off. Like, no, that just means Stanford's not going to play. Ohio State's still going to play. Alabama's still going to play. Tennessee's still going to play. Michigan's still going to play. So, but I could see something like that where, like, one of the teams or multiple teams in the Pac-12 just decide not to play. It's just going to be so interesting to see how it ends up turning out. As long as we have a football program or football season, I keep coming back to this, Bill. As long as we have a football season, I'll be a happy man. It's going to be so interesting to see how it turns out, but I will not be surprised if we see, basically just Power 5 conferences play and maybe some teams within the Power 5 conferences deciding they don't want to play this year.
Can you see any scenario where we don't play football, but somehow they play basketball? I mean, if it's no football, there's no way you play basketball, right?
I would agree with that. You know, I think if you don't play college football, how are you going to play college basketball? And then you're going to push it. You're going to push it into flu season. If the reason you're not going to play, and obviously the reason you're not going to play is because of COVID-19, then you're going to, double up with flu season. It just doesn't make sense. And I think as sports fans and journalists and everybody who loves sports, we're all looking carefully at what's going on in pro sports. If there's no NFL, there's going to be no college football. If there's NFL, there probably will be college football. It's not a guarantee, but we have to hope the NFL goes off, without a hitch, or at least as least amount of hitches as possible. We have to hope the NBA works. Right now we're seeing the MLS. We're seeing a bunch of other stuff. NASCAR's a little different. You can do it in NASCAR. We're seeing it in UFC. Baseball's coming back. Everything. So if baseball's able to get, Major League Baseball's able to start their season and they don't have to halt it, same deal with the NBA, and then the NFL looks like they're going to get going, that's great news for college football. But I agree with you. If there's no college football this fall, I mean, how are you going to start college basketball season? It just doesn't make any sense to me. So I'm sure, all of the basketball fans out there, and I'm one of them as well, they're hoping there's going to be college football this fall, because if not, I just don't see how you're going to play men's basketball or women's basketball this winter.
Boy, tell you what, Dave, I figured throughout my life and my career, yours too, I'd seen it all. I guess we hadn't seen it all, had we?
2020 is awful. I want to speak to the manager. gosh, and I think you're probably a lot like I was. I was like worried at first, but not like too worried, but worried. You know, we even talked on the show, if you're worried there might not be a season in this. Like, it'll be okay by then. And then I got super cocky in like, you know, May and early June, maybe like the rest of the country did. And I was thinking, I even said, you know, on the record, 99.9% we're going to have a college football season, no doubt about it. And then I'm back to being worried now. But at least I really look at yesterday's news as like a positive with the Big Ten, because you know they're putting a plan in place to have a season. It feels like they're determined to have a season, even a truncated one. So that's actually good news to me.
Dave, have a good weekend, sir. Appreciate you.
You too, Bill. Good talking to you, buddy.
There you go. There he is, Dave Biddle. Excellent. Always excellent. I don't know why, but this doesn't feel like Friday to me. Now, Brad's coming up. That'll make it feel more like Friday. Brad'll be with us in about, 12, 13, 14 minutes, somewhere in there. BradPowerSports.com, handicapping. Out in Vegas, if you have a question for him, use the hashtag AskBP, as in Brad Powers. We'll get to break right here. Presented by the lovely Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Traffic still holding up right now as far as really bad interstate accidents, lanes blocked. Now, there's a crash at Rosa Parks at James Robertson Parkway. That's a minor crash. 8th and Glebe Street, that's a crash right in the intersection. Hopefully, they'll move it here in a few minutes as we watch it build out here coming out of Dixon County on I-40 East up through Kingston Springs. For that perfect getaway just outside of Gatlinburg, check out Cosby Creek Cabins. Log on today, Cosby Creek Cabins. Cabins.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Guys, waking up over and over to pee is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to pee at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking 3 prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced. Free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply. Absolutely free. Call 1-800-478-0480. Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now. Call 1-800-478-0480. Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer. Call 1-800-478-0480. 1-800-478-0480.
How much money would you like to save just by doing something you're already doing? How about 40%? With Allstate, safe drivers can save 40% just by doing something they're already doing. Driving safe. That's right, 40% just by driving safe. Visit Allstate.com or call a local agent for a quote today and see just how much you can save when you drive safe with Allstate.
Not available in every state. Savings vary and based on DriveWise and other safe driving discounts. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Napa know-how.
Right now, get 5 quarts of Napa Full Synthetic Motor Oil plus a Platinum Oil Filter for just $22.98. Why does synthetic motor oil give your engine superior lubrication and protection? Because science. That's why. Pick up 5 quarts of Napa Full Synthetic plus a Platinum Oil Filter for just $22.98. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Know-how.
General States pricing. Sales price does not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer ends 7/31/20.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's a smart suggestion.
Check out the new and improved WNSR.com.
You're going to have to explain that.
It's the new and improved WNSR.com. With everything a sports fan needs.
We got a whole new attitude.
All the scores. All the highlights. All the updates. All the stories. And even the new website smell from Nashville Sports Radio.
This is the most important religious event of our time.
You keep saying that, but you don't tell me how.
Log on to the new and improved WNSR.com. Get into the Bill King Show, 615-844-5600. He doesn't charge by the minute.
Quick tweet, and then we'll go down to Allen in Tampa. The GOAT on the Emerald Coast says, Bill, if the ACC and or the SEC do the same as the Big Ten, then that would mean no Florida-Florida State game, correct? That is correct. Yeah, right now. Now, the ACC has not made an announcement. Some are predicting they announce it today, though. SEC won't announce anything today, I don't think. But, yes, the Florida-Florida State game, Clemson, South Carolina, Georgia, Georgia Tech, Kentucky, Louisville, all in much jeopardy. Matter of fact, I'm going to assume, as of right now, I would assume those games don't get played. I hope I'm wrong, but that would be my assumption. And, again, no announcement has been made there. Just assuming. Alan down in Tampa. What's up, Alan?
Good morning, buddy. How you doing?
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, this thing's getting crazy. The canceling the games and conference only. It's gonna get wild here for a little bit.
Now, how does that work with the tickets you bought already?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I was told in the beginning, any games that are not played, you'll be refunded that money for that particular game. So, say the two or three out-of-conference games you have, whatever that ticket cost was, they'll reimburse it. But they will give you your money back. They'll apply it to next year or something like that. You know, they'll say they don't kick my money back, I don't think.
I hear you, man. Well,
they're the business of taking money in, not sending it back to you.
That's true. That's true.
I talked to my buddy with the boosters yesterday. They laid some people off with the boosters, and they also laid some athletic staff off, like 25 people total.
At Florida State?
Yeah.
And that's before, I mean, the money crunch hadn't even hit yet. It hit because of the NCAA tournament and the conference tournament a year ago, but the big money crunch hadn't even hit yet. So that gives everybody an example of what could happen. It'd be way worse than that.
Oh, it's gonna be. I think it's gonna get way worse. I agree with you. I mean, and then you put what 50% in the stadium, 30%, 40%. Well, all the people that got the tickets can't get in. Tickets you can't sell, and it's money you got allegedly had come up with some scam. You're gonna get back, but you don't get back.
Well, and I'm assuming, is anybody going to be comfortable with concessions? Are you going to be people selling beer and selling hot dogs and all of that? Or, I mean, I don't know.
We said there's a buffet where we said that.
Right.
That's gone. That's over with. That won't be there anymore. But, you know, if you go to a restaurant or you go get a hamburger at that crappy McDonald's, you can go get a hot dog at a football stadium, I would assume.
No, I agree with you, but it seems like they might be too nervous. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're going to sign a waiver. When you walk in that door, you know, you sign a waiver. It's like a cruise ship. You go on a cruise ship, you sign a thing, and if you have a hangnail 10 years from now, then it's not their fault. I mean, they had it covered 6 ways of Sunday, and every cruise ship, you look at the back of that baby, it's registered in the Bahamas. You know why? If you want to sue them, go sue us in the Bahamas. We got the guy in our back pocket.
Right. You're not winning down there, so.
No, I mean, you jerk them cruise ships out of the Caribbean islands, they dry up like a dried prune. That's where all their money comes from. They're not going to, you know, they're not going to poop in their lunchbox.
I know. Yeah, I know. Alan, be safe. You going to the beach?
What do you think?
Yeah, I figured you were.
Yeah, of course I am. I'm a beach guy. I went from the Atlantic side, and tomorrow I'll be on the Gulf side.
Have a good weekend, sir.
Have a great weekend, buddy. Nice talking to you.
Yeah, appreciate it. Next up, I believe, before we get to the we lost him. We lost him. Brad is going to be with us next, and that'll be hour number 3 every Friday. Brad Powers, bradpowersports.com. Pac-12, Dave. Bill, the Corona Bros are winning. Play the damn season. Embrace the bubble. Tech Bogey 6. West Virginia, Bill, pretty much traveling like a non-conference on a weekly away game anyways. Crazy times. College football is needed. I'm like you. Yeah, I hope that's where we're headed here. Anything new? I haven't seen any other announcements from any leagues other than the Big Ten. I'm talking about with the conference games only model. I know what the Ivy League announced. They announced, the heck with it. We ain't doing any of it. That's what they announced. Jeff in the Borough. Bill, just letting all your listeners know that when the SEC goes to all conference games, Kentucky will win the East. Mark Stoops says so. I've got you on the record there. Jeff, too, says, Bill, my research shows that the last time Alabama played an all-SEC schedule was 1901. In 1901, here was their schedule, and it started October 26th. They played Ole Miss in Tuscaloosa. They played Georgia in Montgomery, Alabama. They played Auburn in Tuscaloosa. They played Mississippi A&M in Tuscaloosa. And they played Tennessee at West End Park in Birmingham. Five games. 1901. Pretty good stat there. Brad's coming up hour number three.